Have you ever had questions about one of Jesus' parables? I know that I have. That's why we're going to look at the parable of the minas today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad that you've joined us because the parable of the mina is a very important parable for understanding all the other parables. Let's go right to the studio with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean. I'm here with Bob.
Hi.
And hey, Bob, how do you feel like doing some Q&A today?
Let's do question and answer.
Because you guys have been sending us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. If you want to send us questions, that's where you send them, radio@faithalone.org. And we're happy to try to answer those questions for you. The first one comes to us from Bradford, and Bradford asks, he's asking about the parable of the minas.
Okay,
that's in Luke chapter 19.
Right.
Can you just summarize the parable of the minas
for us
quickly?
Okay, yeah. The parable of the minas, Luke 19, 11 to 27, has two groups. The citizens that hate this Lord who's going off for a time and don't want him to reign over them, which represents unbelieving Israel, and then his servants, and he has 10 servants. He gives them all a sum of money. A mina was worth about 4 months' income. So maybe in today's dollars, this was like $10,000 or $15,000, a pretty good sum of money. And he says, do business till I come. Invest this money till I return. Well, then he comes back and he settles accounts. And first he settles accounts with, we only look at 3 of the 10, but he settles account with a guy who goes from 1 to 10, another guy 1 to 5, another guy doesn't even use his mina and just buries it.
And so the first two guys get rewarded because they did well.
Right.
But the last guy, and this question is about the last guy.
Okay.
And what happened to the last guy?
Okay, the last guy has his mina taken away from him and given to the one who has 10. And the guy with 10 gets 10 cities. The guy with 5 gets 5 cities. So the guy with 10 is called a good servant. The guy with 5 is just, you also be over 5 cities, Luke 19, 19. The third guy is called a wicked servant, and he gets no cities to rule over. In fact, his mina is given to the one with 10, so that's kind of like a bonus city for the guy who went from 1 to 10, the guy who was most faithful.
Right, and then there's the second group of, what are they, the citizens?
They get killed. Hated him. In verse 27, they get killed. Yeah, why don't you read verse 27?
He says, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me.
Now, I think that slaying refers to the second death, which you see in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, and it's being cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Notice it says, bring here those enemies of mine. They're not at the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
That's a separate judgment. And so the third servant, I think it's pretty clear in the parable of the minas, the third servant is born again because he's not slain.
Okay. Well, here's Bradford's question. Isn't the servant who does nothing with his mina in a way saying that he doesn't want Jesus to reign over him, like the citizens that are slain didn't want Jesus to reign over him? And he says he's asking this question because although he's a believer, there have been times when he didn't want Jesus to be in control of his life, and he had been in rebellion in his life. And he's just wondering, is that what that last servant is thinking?
Well, that's a good question. One area of confusion is thinking that when he says they didn't want him to reign over them, that that's talking about in their current life. That's not what it's talking about.
Ah.
It's talking about the fact that this is Messiah. And Messiah is going to establish his kingdom, and he's going to be the king and rule, and they don't believe he's Messiah. And so they don't want him to be their king because they believe he's a false Messiah. He's a false king. As a result, the issue is not lordship dedication. It's not some sort of commitment to him in this life. And the problem with the third servant might be to some degree that he doesn't want the Lord to be controlling his day-to-day activities, but he clearly is separated from the people who don't want him to reign over them, who don't want to be in his kingdom. He believes Jesus is Messiah. He is called a servant. He's given this stewardship, and he fails in it. And so it seems to me that, yeah, maybe a believer at some point in life may not be following Christ. A person could even die in that state. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is that the third servant doesn't invest his life for Christ. And so when Christ returns, he's got nothing to show for it. In fact, Jesus said, why didn't you put it in the bank and get me some interest so at least I'd have some return on my money, which I'm not quite sure what that means.
Right.
Commentators aren't sure either.
Yeah.
But I think what it means is, why didn't you give that money to the local church
right.
that would have used it, or give it to missionaries who would have used it, or given it to people who were right. actually serving me, so there'd at least be some return on
right.
my money?
So even if you didn't go preaching on the streets or preaching in another country, you at least help someone else do that.
Right.
Well, so I guess the ultimate question is, since the scripture doesn't explicitly say that, we really don't know what this guy's motivation was.
Well, it's funny. He says, I know you were a man who holds people accountable for things which you didn't work for. And what he's basically saying is, okay, you gave me this sum of money, but now you're holding me accountable to multiply it, and I don't want to multiply it.
Right.
One of the issues, I remember when Zane Hodges and I talked about this 20 years ago, he said something like, there is a certain risk in investing your time, talent, and treasure. Because what happens if you make poor investments? Well, you can actually lose money and have less than a mina. So possibly this guy was concerned, like, you know, I didn't want to do anything. And aren't there some Christians like that? They'd never want to teach a Sunday school class. I don't want to share my faith because what if I say the wrong thing? Well, that's a person who's burying their minas, their time, their talent, their treasure.
Right. Here's another question. It's from a reader of the magazine. If you're not getting Grace and Focus magazine, I'd love to give you a free subscription. Go to our website, faithalone.org, and you can read the magazine online there, but we would really love to give you a hard copy. That just kind of makes a difference. Well, they comment 2 Timothy 2:12 regards our level of co-reigning with Christ in the millennial kingdom, saying it depends on our ability to endure and overcome. This brought up a question. Is the enduring and overcoming here talking about not denying Christ, that is, actual apostasy, falling into full deception and claiming we're not Christians any longer? Or is it referring to our ability to not backslide? And this guy, Mike, says, it may look like there isn't a difference, but in my youth, I unfortunately backslid, but I never denied Christ. And so it makes a practical difference to him. What does co-reigning depend on?
Okay, good question. In 2 Timothy 2:12, Paul says, starting in verse 11, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's the guarantee that we will spend eternity with him. And verse 13 supports that. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So 11 and 13 are twin pillars of eternal security. But verse 12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, nearly every commentator recognizes that what Paul is doing in verse 12 is interpreting Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And that's where Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So the second half of 2 Timothy 2:12 is taken right from Matthew 10:33.
Right.
But the first half doesn't say, if we confess him, we will also reign with him. And Zane Hodges suggested that the first is broader than confession. And basically what he's saying is, we need to endure in not only our confession, but also our practice.
Right.
And if we do that, we're going to reign with him. But if we deny him, right, if we at the end of our lives are not confessing him, then we're not going to reign with him. He will deny us the privilege of reigning with him. And a similar verse, which I believe the questioner raises, is Revelation 2:26, where Jesus says, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him I will give authority over the nations.
Right. And this ties in with the question we answered before. You have to actually do something with your mina.
Right. It's not enough to say, okay, I'm a confessing Christian my whole life. And by the way, his question is misguided in the sense that, let's say he backslid for 10 years. Let's say for 10 years he was an atheist, and then he came back to the faith. Well, enduring talks about the end of my life.
Right.
Now, how much he'll rule, all that time when you're denying Christ or when you're a backslider, you're not laying up eternal rewards.
Right.
But the point is, if at the end of your life you're enduring in your confession of Christ and you're enduring in your service for Christ, then you're going to rule with him to some degree. Maybe 10 cities, maybe 5 cities, maybe 1 city. And so the key is that it's important that we finish well in the Christian life.
So let me give you this example. I was reading the story of a former evangelist, kind of open-air evangelist guy, Billy Graham type guy. and he stopped believing completely, and now he's an atheist. So let's say he dies as an atheist. He ministers for, let's say, 60, 70 years, doing all this preaching and evangelism and bringing people to Christ, but then he dies as an atheist. He hasn't endured. He's not going to reign, right?
Right. I think you're talking about Templeton. Templeton actually was an evangelist to rival Billy Graham, and he was actually bigger than Billy Graham for a time, and then he fell away. You may be talking about someone else because there are a number of examples like this. But the truth is, if the person ever believed the promise of John 3:16, he ever believed the promise of everlasting life, well, then he's secure even though he later fell away. Even though later he was no longer a confessing Christian, but he won't rule with Christ because 2 Timothy 2:12 is real clear on that. But no, this person doesn't need to worry about sometime in the past when he backslid.
Right.
Or even sometime in the past if he was denying Christ. The key is do your best from here forward.
So
you can't go back.
Let me flip the example around then. Let's say someone spends 80 years as an atheist or as a carnal Christian, but then the very last year of their life, they start working for the Lord and they die doing good works and confessing Christ, even though it was only 1 year out of like 80. Are they going to rule?
Yes, but he will only rule, or she will only rule, over a very small city or half a city or part of a city because they were unfaithful for most of their Christian life.
Right. They didn't do as much as they could have with their mina, basically.
Right.
Well, this is very interesting, Bob, and if you have any more questions, we're going to be answering your questions about the Bible, about theological topics, about anything we've said on the podcast or in the magazine.
Send us those questions at radio@faithalone.org, but also you might look at our website at www.faithalone.org and go to resources. We have free ebooks there. We also have thousands of articles on Bible passages, and there's a search engine. Just click on the magnifying glass, type in whatever passage you're interested in, and you'll get information about whatever you're interested in.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion about the parable of the minas. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to begin a brand new mini-series called Romans Road Revisited. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.